grace be yours, and peace from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. This morning, we begin a series of sermons on the seven churches of Asia Minor, as Jesus commanded the Apostle John to write to them. This morning, we begin in Revelation chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. To the angel of the church in Ephesus write, "These are the words of him who holds the seven stars in his right hand and walks among the seven golden lampstands. I know your deeds, your hard work, and your perseverance. I know that you cannot tolerate wicked men, that you have tested those who claim to be apostles but are not, and have found them false. You have persevered and have endured hardships in my name and have not grown weary. Yet I hold this against you. You have forsaken your first love. Remember the height from which you have fallen. Repent and do the things you did at first. If you do not repent, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place. But you have this in your favor. You hate the practices of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give the right to eat from the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God." This is God's Word. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, dear fellow redeemed, the risen and ascended Christ had an important mission for the Apostle John to carry out. The last surviving member of the original 12 apostles had been exiled by the Roman Emperor to the island of Patmos in the Aegean Sea. Christ appeared to John and told him to do two things: to write about the things that were to come to pass in the future for the New Testament church, but also to write a letter to seven churches in Asia Minor, present-day Turkey, from him. Now, all of those seven letters would be something from which each of those congregations would benefit. They are also part of the canon of the Scripture so that you and I can benefit as well. We benefit because we see in these congregations what God calls us to be and calls us to do. We also see the other side of that, what God doesn't want us to be or do, and how we should repent when we are and do those things that God does not want. We begin this morning then as Jesus speaks to John and tells him to address the first letter to the angel of the church at Ephesus and commands him write. And in this letter to Ephesus, first of all, Jesus commends the Christians in Ephesus for their faithfulness and patience in faith, but then he also writes a criticism because they had forsaken their first love. In each of the seven letters to the churches, our risen and ascended Savior describes himself in a unique way in each one of the letters. And in this letter to the Ephesians, Jesus calls himself the one who holds the seven stars in his hand, the one who walks in the midst of the seven golden lampstands. Did you know that your pastor was a star? Not in the sense of a football star or a movie star, but Jesus calls his pastors stars because we radiate the glory of Christ in the gospel. Jesus calls the pastors of these churches and all pastors angels in the truest sense of the word, of messengers who speak and proclaim the word that God has given to us to share with the members of his churches. Notice also how he described you. How Jesus here describes himself as being in the midst of the seven golden lampstands. Those are churches, gatherings of believers. We are lampstands who hold that shining light of Christ, just like a lampstand here would hold a candle that shines brightly in our worship. In vivid picture language, Jesus describes holding those who proclaim his word safe in his right hand, safe in his power, and fulfilling his promise to you and me and all believers, where two or three gather together in my name, there I am in the midst of them. These letters, these seven letters to the churches, are one of those places where we think a little bit differently about verbal inspiration. We don't generally think of it as word-for-word dictation in the sense of God somehow communicating directly to Luke when Luke wrote his gospel. But here, the risen and ascended Christ appeared to John and said, basically, take this down. I'm going to tell you right now exactly what you are to write. And so John did just that. And Jesus said to the angel, to the pastor of the church in Ephesus, write these words. I know your deeds, your hard work, and your perseverance. I know that you cannot tolerate wicked men, but that you have tested those who claim to be apostles but are not, and have found them false. You have persevered and have endured hardships for my name and have not grown weary. What did Jesus and John assume that that angel of the church would do? That he would speak God's word to God's people. The word came from God to the apostle, from the apostle to the pastor, from the pastor to the people. That's apostolic succession. That's the word of God being given to the church for the revelation of Christ. Those Christians in Ephesus lived in the midst of a pagan and unbelieving community. Everywhere you looked, there was some idol or a temple to that idol. Ephesus is no longer there as a city, but there are a lot of ruins there. And as I understand, some of the ruins, among the ruins, is the Temple of Diana, which was, I guess you say, is one of the seven wonders of the ancient world. But the pagans persecuted these Christians. They harmed them because of their confession of Christ, of that one true God. And so we'll see in the pattern, with some exceptions, in all of these letters, that the letters begin with a commendation and then contain a criticism, and then an admonition and a promise. Here, to the Ephesians, the commendation is that in spite of all that pagan abuse, in spite of all that rejection and harm that these unbelievers have placed on you, you have persevered in your faith. You have remained faithful to that gospel of Jesus Christ. The risen and ascended Savior commended the believers for the perseverance in their faith under the burden of their crosses. Jesus also commended them because they hated false doctrine. They hated false teachers. They hated anybody that said, "This is what the Lord says," and then gave their own view and opinion. They loved God's Word. They heard and studied God's Word. And they took God's Word to heart. And like the Bereans, they used that Word of God, and as the Christians to whom John wrote also to test the spirits, they used the Word of God as a measuring rod or the scale of a balance to measure and weigh what people claimed was God's Word. They would measure it against the word that the apostles had revealed to them and the Spirit had worked in their hearts. And they tested those spirits and they were able to expose those who claimed to be apostles but weren't. They were able to know and expose the Nicolaitans, who we don't know exactly what their thing was, but it might have been that they said, "Well, because you're a Christian, you can live however you want because you're forgiven." That may have been the essence of what they believed. What a good lesson for us as well. Do all of you know the mission statement of this congregation? It is, "We preach and teach God's Word in its truth and purity." This letter to the believers in Ephesus reminds us that that is not self-congratulatory backslapping. That is a reminder to us of what's really important, and that's God's Word. And it is our intention by God's power and grace to know what that Word of God is, and to take that Word of God to heart, and to use that Word of God to expose those who claim to speak for God but do not, and to recognize those who do that so that they cannot lead us astray into some error or false doctrine. Our mission statement speaks to our love for God's Word and our caring about that Word that by God's grace the Spirit inculcated in our church fathers and, God willing, will keep strong in us. This is a good reminder in this day of the ecumenical movement where many Christians misguided, misled by liars and false prophets, to think that we can unite together for the sake of love and peace and unity when there is no common love for God's Word, when there is no common agreement about what God's Word really says. But beside this commendation of the believers in the church in Ephesus, there was also a criticism. The risen and ascended Christ said to John, "Write to the pastor in Ephesus so he can tell my people, I have this against you. I have this criticism. You have forsaken your first love." They had given up really caring about the gospel. They had given up really daily thinking about where they had been and where God had taken them. After the Apostle Paul established the congregation in Ephesus on his third missionary journey, the people realized just where God had taken them. From the great dark depths of their unbelief and idolatry to saving faith in Jesus Christ to live forever in heaven at the right hand of God. Look how far God had taken them. And they loved that. That meant everything to them. But now, there was a root that was starting to dig deep in the soil of the congregation that could sprout out, that could sprout up into a faith-choking vine. And that was apathy and carelessness about the gospel of Jesus Christ. I think it's interesting that Jesus says that, remember the height from which you have fallen. And then he gives them that admonition, repent and do the things you did at first. At first, you loved the gospel more than anything because you recognized at what height you were because God had put you there. Now think about what height you have fallen from, that the gospel, well, it's there. It'll always be there. It's something that I might take out once in a while and look at or think about or hear if I don't have anything else going on that particular day. Jesus admonishes and says, repent. Think where you were. Think where you are. Brothers and sisters, think where we were in the dark depths of hell and unbelief. And God the Holy Spirit, by His grace, has lifted us up to belief in Jesus Christ and to live forever in heaven at the right hand of God. What a good warning and admonition for us to daily repent. This is not the repentance the Spirit worked in us when He took us from being unbelievers to believers in our baptism. This is the daily repentance of our saying to God, Lord, I foolishly listened to my sinful nature. I foolishly, like Eve, listened to the lies of the devil and doubted You and disobeyed You. I acknowledge that guilt. I acknowledge my apathy to the gospel. I acknowledge my temper. I acknowledge my lust of the flesh. I acknowledge my sharp and biting tongue. I acknowledge all of those things and trust in the blood that Jesus shed on the cross, that has washed all my sins away. We grab that root of what wants to take over as first love in our lives rather than God's Word, and by daily repentance, we tear it up so that it can't grow into a vine that chokes us, our faith out by love for this world. It chokes out that sin so that love for sin doesn't become our first love rather than love for Christ. Jesus then gave John a promise. To him who overcomes, I will give the right to eat from the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. At first, Adam and Eve would eat from that tree for their immortality in Eden. After that, they were immortal after the fall by belief in that promise that they heard Jesus give to the devil, God give to the devil, I'm going to crush your head and you're going to bruise his heel. Adam and Eve were saved by faith in the cross of Christ, just like we are, and through that had immortality. So Jesus uses that picture. When we repent, as we repent, through faith, we have that promise of God of eating from that immortality in heaven. God promises immortality to those who persevere in faith, who those who hate false doctrine, and those who love Christ more than sin. He promises us heaven not because we do those things. He promises us those things because He's our Savior who paid for those sins on the cross with the sacrifice of His blood. And He promises that He will hold us in His right hand and He will walk among us as His golden lampstands. Amen.